Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to globalfreedomtv.com. We encourage you to go to the website and click on the PayPal donate button. If you can support us, we'd appreciate it. We are coming to you with live broadcasts on some of the most pressing international issues that face the United States, as well as looking at the global situation. So we are going to be delving right into what appears to be the Russian-Ukrainian, the United States-NATO conflict with Dr. Stephen Pidgeon. And we will be giving an assessment of the events that transpired today and what is going to be transpiring in the very near future with President Zelensky coming to the United States and begging for arms and money, and then at the same time saying it's not enough and ratcheting up billions of dollars of financial aid and military aid to Ukraine. And we're seeing a lot of the rhino Republicans like Mitch McConnell and the rest of these people supporting this endless war that seems to be fomenting. So we're going to talk with Stephen Pidgeon to find out a little bit more about it. What is actually happening? What is the background behind all of this, and where are we going? So stay with us, and we're going to be jumping right in with Dr. Stephen Pidgeon. And Stephen, it's great to have you on with us again. We wanted to delve right into the Ukraine-Russian situation. You were commenting earlier about Medvedev being in China. We've seen Russia's President Putin giving a speech to his military people, talking about Ukraine, NATO, Russia essentially being put into a war situation with all of NATO and the West. And of course, we see the West embracing Zelensky, embracing and supporting and financing the Nazi regimes that are engaging in crimes against humanity in Ukraine. And we're wondering how this is going to be resolved, what is going to be happening in the next 30 to 60 days with regards to the conflict. So, Stephen, I'll hand it over to you to get your background and assessment. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Scott. It's great to be with you here again and to be bringing a wee bit of the Gaelic understanding of just what's happening here. All right. Well, you know, I'll tell you that we have arrived at a time that is about to go outside of time. And to give a little bit of background on this, one has to recognize that we need to look back at the history of Russia, at least a little bit. Russia in the 19th century was one of the most Christian nations on earth. In fact, Moscow had more churches than any other city on earth, Christian churches, Orthodox, you know, Eastern Orthodox churches. And just to quickly delineate, you know, there's a distinction between the Eastern Orthodox and the Western Church. The Western Church has splattered like a windshield on pavement into hundreds of thousands of denominations as a result of the breakaway of Rome from Orthodoxy in its initial foundation. Remember that the Christian Church was founded in 325 AD with Constantine. And there was a schism that took place with Constantine's grandsons that split Byzantium away from the Western Empire. The Western Empire quickly fell in its own decadence and corruption. But the Eastern Empire continued with no difficulty through to 1453. And its successor in interest, through Zoe Paleolog, became Russia. And Russia to this day believes it is the successor in interest to the Byzantine Empire. And one of the things Russia inherited, of course, was a skill set when it comes to making war and acquiring geographical territory. That's why they're the largest nation on the earth, the nation that defeated the Mongolian Empire down at Astrakhan. And so this is a very significant issue. And the fact that the schism now that began, you know, at the time of Constantine's grandsons has continued into modernity. People don't want to talk about the wickedness of Rome. But the wickedness of Rome, the 13 families behind the Pope, and the current Pope, who is a usurper to the papacy, with a living Pope still around, Pope Benedict still living, and who is engaged in absolute heresy to Catholicism. I mean, he begs the question, is the Pope Catholic? In 2015, he authored and penned this explosive document called the Laudate Si, which converted all of the faith world into the belief and the faith in Gaia, Mother Earth, and climate change as a religion and doctrine. He was recently at the supposed Mount Sinai on this COP27 climate change conference, where they adopted a new set of 10 commandments, which are, by the way, the most authoritarian set of commandments ever authored by anyone, as they're all positive law, asserting that man is God and capable of changing the climate. A very interesting assertion. Nonetheless, the Pope has pushed forward with this kind of concept in complete heresy to Catholicism, to any standard of Catholicism, and has been the ringleader behind what's going on with the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum is an NGO front for the Third Reich, which has been reborn in the EU. And we know that the Third Reich is the child of the Nazi Reich of Adolf Hitler, because it's all the children of the Reich running it. Most of them are in unelected positions, controlling all of Europe and the European Union. Unfortunately, this group of deranged lunatics are now, and they're beginning to justify Nazism all over, including in the United States, by the way. They're justifying Nazism again. And I noticed that Netanyahu is conspicuously silent about this. We hear no protests coming out of Israel at all about the rise of Nazism in the United States. And Israel was even willing to fund and arm the Nazi regime in Ukraine. Now, this is such an outrageous thing, Scott, that Israel would arm these Banderites in Ukraine. I mean, and I've said this publicly, if Israel is going to arm Ukraine, then shut down the Holocaust Museum. I don't want to hear another word about the Holocaust. You're funding and arming their children to engage in another Holocaust in Ukraine. So zip it when it comes to talking about the Holocaust of World War II. No more discussion about it. No more fundraising either. And so here we go. So with this this background, the Russians lost their country. They lost their country to a New York banker orchestrated overthrow called the Bolshevik Revolution. The Bolshevik Revolution was managed by a predecessor to our current line Congressman Peter Slick Schiff, who was Jacob Schiff, who had orchestrated and funded Vladimir Lenin in the atheist overthrow of a Christian nation. And when these atheists overthrew this Christian nation with the collapse of the Tsar's regime, the assassination of his whole family, and the butchering of the family, then they proceeded to destroy all the Christian churches in Russia and executed 66 million Russian Orthodox people in prison camps over a period of 50 years. This is by far a greater slaughter than anything Adolf Hitler does, but nobody can talk about the Russian slaughter of Christians. Nobody gets to talk about that little issue. And then the Russians turned around at the behest of the United States and put their blood and soil on the ground at St. Petersburg, at Kursk, at Stalingrad, which is now Volgograd, losing 15 million men to completely neuter the Third Reich in Eastern Europe, which is the only way that the United States and Britain could launch a successful beachhead at Normandy. The only way that happened was because there was 15 million dead Russians on the Eastern Front. And our repayment to Russia for doing that, for putting us into American hegemony all over the world with their blood sacrificed on their soil, is now we're going to try to dismember their nation. This is disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And so the Russians have moved into a situation where, with thanks to the fact that they were provided with a surface of land that has the greatest amount of oil on Earth and the greatest amount of natural gas on Earth and the greatest amount of natural resources on Earth, estimated a value of about $75 trillion, and they began exporting this oil and gas, even though we did everything we could to subvert it, they began exporting it, and they became the top provider to Western Europe. Western Europe, recognizing that they had a choice of either going on clean Russian natural gas, which was so plentiful they had it for the next 300 years, or they could go back to their untrustworthy, unreliable nuclear power plants, where they were always risking a meltdown in high population centers and in the cultural center of Earth, you know, the cultural Garden of Eden, right? Okay, well, here we are again with European derangement going on. Now, the situation in Ukraine was manageable. You had a nation that was kind of struggling along, but they were doing fine under the old regimen of elected leaders who were leaning slightly towards Russia, but not onerously towards Russia. Remember that 40% of the population was Russian speaking, 60% of the population Ukrainian speaking. So any leader who was a true leader in Ukraine, had to address both population groups and had to lean a little bit in both directions, just like a proper leader of Canada speaks French and English, right? You have the same kind of thing in Ukraine. This was a necessary part of the Ukrainian literature. Now, Ukraine also has a history that goes back to the Kievan Rus as part of Russia. For them to become antithetical to Russian interests was only at the behest of the satanic leadership at NATO. And this leadership was overcome and directed by Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Victoria Nuland. Now, we're not going to speak as to the Christian morality or the lack thereof of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, but let's just say that's the last thing on their agenda. They walked into Ukraine in 2014 and overthrew the leadership there, the democratically elected leadership, with the most blatant coup in history. This is what most historians say. It was the most obvious political coup in history. Got away with it, had open mercenaries on the streets, assassinating civilians in order to overthrow the regime and to implant CIA planted leadership in Ukraine, who immediately embarked on Nazi protocol, demanding within 2 days that Jews register in the country. Now, the Russian Jews living in Crimea immediately voted to get out of the country and to join Russia. That didn't stop the United States from working to place NATO munitions in Ukraine in order that NATO could do the same thing to Russia that it did to Libya, that it did to Syria, that it did to Iraq, which is to bomb, invade, and then steal the natural resources. Now, these greedy, corrupted people have got their eyes on the Russian natural resources. They have already printed documents saying they're going to break up Russia into 11 countries. So Russia knows this. The key thing that you have to remember is not whether you're taking Russia's side in this or not. Russia knows that the NATO plans to destroy and dissolve and break up their country. That's what they know. They know it as a fact. So what you have is you have a bear backed into a corner. That's what you have. You have a bear backed into a corner. Okay. So Biden has got this attitude of, we don't care if they have nukes. Just go in there and invade. We could care less. We don't care. Here, let me read my lips. I don't care. Right? Neither did Liz Truss. Neither did Boris Johnson. One hopes they would care before London is in flames, but I don't. I've lost hope. I've lost that hope today, Scott. I've lost that hope today. They don't care. And so now the next thing that's going to happen, and I can tell you this is what I believe is happening today. So quick roundup, what's happening in the field in Ukraine. Ukraine established itself under Zelensky and under Poroshenko. They began arming with the idea of, we're going to become a NATO country, we're going to become a nuclear power, and then we're going to assist NATO in overthrowing Russia, and then we'll be the top dogs appointed when we get into Russia. And Russia knew it, and they told NATO, we're not going to allow you to move certain kinds of arms into Ukraine. It's not going to happen. You're not going to do it. We don't want you to do it. Don't do it. Give us assurance you're not going to do it. Live up to the promise, the signed promise you made when the Soviet Union dissolved, that you would not come any further east. Live up to that promise and don't do this. Make Ukraine a safe zone. Then we can all live at peace, and we'll continue to sell natural gas and oil into Europe. A very simple formula. It was easy. Oh, no, you don't understand NATO. We make money killing people. We make money invading your country. We make money bombing civilians. We make money destroying other nations and stealing their natural resources. And we've got a back door in Ukraine like you wouldn't believe. We pump the billions in and it comes rolling right back to us. In fact, a lot of times we earmark it to Ukraine, put it on their debt sheet, and it never leaves the United States. Yeah, what a great plan. This is just to catch me out. Well, Russia might nuke us. Nah, they're not going to nuke us. Well, this calculation was incorrect. First of all, they thought that they were going to exhaust all of Russia's military resources in very short order in Ukraine. They had 140,000 troops lined up in Lugansk. They had another 48,000 troops down in Donetsk. They have been bombing civilians since 2014. They intentionally target residential areas, hospitals, schools, including kindergartens. They just recently struck a kindergarten in Donetsk. This is their target strategy, and they're using U.S. munitions to do that, to hit civilians. right? They're not using these ammunitions to target Russian troops. No. They're targeting civilians. Okay. So Russia's response was, well, look, we're going to go in and talk to those Russian people who you criminalized, right? By Ukrainian law, anyone who speaks Russian is now a criminal. And what was the average Ukrainian saying on the street? What do we do with Russian speakers in Ukraine? Kill them. Exterminate them. That's what the language they were using. The blue and yellow flag stands for Nazi extermination of Russians, ethnic cleansing. Okay. So they've been engaged in this, 14,000 dead, mass graves again in Ukraine, just like there were when it was Jews, only now it's Russians. Mass graves in Ukraine, and Putin put up with it from 2014 until 2022, when Vladimir Zelensky said, we're going to go nuclear, and we're going to put missiles that can strike the center of Russia, and we're going to be a part of NATO. He's saying this stuff openly, and then he deploys troops with tanks by the thousands and continues to lob shells into apartment buildings. So Putin said, enough. We're coming in. We ask you for assurances, and what did Stoltenberg say? Shut up. Don't tell us what to think. We never asked for your opinion. Just shut your mouth, Vlad. Okay, Stoltenberg. Everything that happens to Europe now is on you, buddy. Everything that happens in Europe now, you did it. You and your smart mouth. You and your jock itch. You did it. You did it, Stoltenberg. You did it. Okay, so now what's going to happen? So Russia moved in. And they thought that Russia doesn't know how to fight a war. You know what kind of casualties have been going on for the Ukrainians? You got any idea what kind of casualties? They had 10,000 troops lost in one day in Bakhmut last week. They're averaging 500 casualties a day. The Ukrainians are. 500 casualties a day. Every piece of equipment we've sent in there has been destroyed. That's why Zelensky's always at the door asking for more money and more armament, because they have no skill set. They don't know how to wage war. They just stick the stuff out there and tell their troops, charge. And then they're shocked when everybody's dead and all their stuff is blown up. It's absolutely amazing. So what's happened recently is the Wagner PMC has gone in and has completely enclosed Bakhmut. And because they've completely enclosed Bakhmut, they have just slaughtered them to nothing. So the 92nd Brigade, the Army Brigade of the Ukrainian Army, gave up yesterday. So there's all these videos out of these troops all surrendering. They're all surrendering because they're done. Zelensky didn't provide him with food, didn't provide him with medical aid, didn't provide him with replacements, and didn't provide them with an order to retreat so that they could regroup. He left them out there to die. And most of them did. And the ones that didn't have surrendered. So Bakhmut is taken, which means Avdiivka is wide open. Avdiivka is falling. Russians are already in there. This means that there is no defensive line remaining for the Ukrainian troops in Donetsk or Luhansk between there and Kiev. There's nothing remaining. In fact, Zelensky sent in his top troops from Kiev to fight in Bakhmut because he's a stupid general. He is a dumb person who does not know how to wage war. He's a stupid person. And his idea of a smart military move was to put S-300 missiles into Poland to force NATO to fight on his behalf. NATO should have declared war on Ukraine right there and stomped him into the ground and taken the country away. But that's not what's going to happen. Instead, because we have Dr. Dementia back here in the United States running the U.S. military. So Zelensky, the pianist, he's now a pianist, you know, got a good video of him playing the piano. He's the pianist. The pianist shows up and he goes to DC and he tells Biden, yeah, we need this. We used all your stuff, Dad. Can we get a whole bunch more? Well, I'm not going to bother to ask Congress, Vlad. I'll just send you over everything. I'll send you over our best HIMARS. I'll send you over our Patriot missile systems. I'll send you over mortars, lots and lots of rounds you can use to kill Russians with these. You know, listen, don't bother shooting them at the troops. Just go ahead and use them against apartment buildings and stuff like that, because we don't care where you, I mean, look, one dead Ukrainian, one dead Russian. What do we care? It's not on our soil. Kill whoever you want. We got no dog in the fight. Kill whoever you want. So the Russians took one look at this and said, okay, All right. Well, you've limited our choices now. We can sit back and go along with this and then let you come in and lob bombs into Moscow, lob bombs into St. Petersburg, lob bombs into Kursk, lob bombs into Volgograd, or, you know, Verona, or wherever it is you're going to hit, lob bombs in there. And then we'll just let you dissect the country and kill our civilians and take our country apart, and then we'll just cry about it. Well, that's not the Russian inclination. The Russian inclination is to decide what to do. And of course, the chess game is simply this. And this is what it looks like right now, Scott. The only thing that has prevented the use of tactical nuclear weapons by Russia so far is China. And China has said, don't use tactical nukes. Do what you can without using tactical nukes. Now, Dmitry Medvedev is in Beijing, and he's telling Xi Jinping, we're going to use tactical nukes.
Yeah, and let me just augment that. Russia has, you know, always known to a certain degree, China is undependable, it's unreliable. Putin has said himself years ago, Russia's not the threat, China is the threat. Russians instinctively understand the Chinese are not to be trusted. They are, a totalitarian, robotic, Borg, two-dimensional people and culture. And they are not the same as the Russians. But they've been forced together in this inconvenient alliance. And I think Russia, with this comment from Medvedev, I mean, Putin seems slow on the uptake. I know there are those who talk about his strategic slowness being an advantage and things like that. But, you know, the hearts and minds of the Russians, I think, are getting very frustrated with Putin because this war, in many Russians' minds, should have been finished within 6 months. And with much more of a blitzkrieg, take Kiev and annihilate them. If the Chinese have been holding the Russian resolve back, I would not trust the Chinese not to be doing that to weaken Russia. The Chinese have no moral accountability whatsoever. So as their thinking goes, they would rather have Russia slightly weakened and NATO slightly weakened through a long drawn out conflict. Whereas Russia, if it used nuclear tactical weapons early, this whole thing would have been shattered and stopped. Europe, like the castrated cowards they are, would have fell on the ground and raised their leg like a passive golden retriever. And the Americans would have been told in no uncertain terms, thank God that we're not dropping bombs in Detroit or in Kentucky or wherever you have these military industrial complex factories. Thank God that we're not doing to you what you've been trying to do to Russia. Because if we start dropping EMPs or blowing up bridges, your people in the United States who are metrosexual cowards, who don't know the difference between a man and a woman, who don't have any understanding of God, who have abandoned all of their traditional cultural values, you people will fold like a wet tissue. You are intrinsically weak and cowardly. That's how, I mean, if I was on the Russian diplomacy staff, that's what I would be saying to every one of these punks in CIA and State Department and elsewhere. So with the Chinese restraining Russia, I don't think it's been a good thing. And I would hope now that Medvedev and the Russians go, you know what? This is taking too long. The danger is our own people are going to be very upset and disenfranchised. And we need to get this finished, completed, and crush all of the enemies very, very soon. And if nuclear tactical weapons are needed, again, this isn't Hiroshima-style mushroom clouds, but smaller devices that can more effectively annihilate city blocks, then so be it. Use the weapons, annihilate the city blocks, kill every single soldier. I don't care if they're American or British or German or Polish or Ukrainian, but kill every single one of these mercenaries. And no American should be over there anyway, because it's a violation of their oath to the Constitution. This is completely inappropriate for any American in uniform to be over there. If you're dumb enough to try and be a mercenary, you deserve to be killed. But I would say the Russians should use tactical nuclear weapons and bring this to a crushing conclusion before the half-wit enemy in the West and in NATO gets an idea that they can continue perpetrating this fantasy of endless war for profit without any blowback whatsoever.
Without any blowback. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the fantasy in their mind. And this is what I'm saying to you, Scott. I think Medvedev went to Beijing and said, look, here's the situation. This thing is going to escalate, period. It's going to escalate. We've been telling everybody it's going to escalate. Nobody's listening. We're telling everybody it's going to escalate. When this escalates, if we suffer catastrophic losses as a result of this escalation, you're going to be the full recipient of the 3,500 nukes that remain in the United States. And they have no discrimination about nuking you. It'll be no discrimination. Okay, now that Russia's gone, unleash. What's China going to do with its 400 nukes or 40 nukes, whatever it is? What's China going to do? Just completely unleash and obliterate them. Get rid of them all, right? And so this is the message that Medvedev is bringing to Beijing. I'm sure this is what Dmitry is telling him. Look, we go down in Ukraine, you're dead. Yeah. You're done. Your country's finished. The U.S. will just take you down. So you have a commitment. You have to understand. We have to fight this war the way we're going to fight it. You need to be on board. And it's not going to be a question of let's have an option about this. Let's discuss this. Let's see if you agree with us. China will have no choice. And so because China has no choice, China is going to say, okay, do what you need to do. And the do what you need to do is going to be something like this. And this is something that I wish Biden had a brain and he'd think about this. The Russians have hacked all of NATO's computers. Anything that NATO knows, Russia knows. They're in their computers. They're seeing it all. They got real-time data. They know where the arms are going to land. They know when they're going to get there. They know which airplanes they're going to be in. They know the whole kit and caboodle. The only thing that saves them is that when they get to smuggling them out of Romania or out of Poland into Ukraine, they use tactics that they can get in and we'll bring it in by ship, we'll bring it in by a cargo truck, bring it in a FedEx van, whatever it is they're going to use to smuggle it into Ukraine to get these arms into Ukraine. But they also know where the 700 Abrams tanks are in Poland. They know where this tribe of American troops are up there in Estonia doing maneuvers 20 miles from the Russian border. You think the Russians don't know that? Russians know that they're there. They know what they're up to. And so what it looks like to me is going to be something like this. They've got a lot of choices. I'm thankful for Vladimir Putin's slow fuse. He's been a slow fuse and he stayed on task. Mm-hmm. I think I would have had a hot temper. He didn't. He's got a slow fuse, stays on task. And because of that, he's been able to carefully maneuver what's been going on there in Ukraine and successfully maneuvered. And the Wagner PMC has been tremendously effective, tremendously effective. So what you're going to see is this. If Biden does what he's saying he's going to do, and he's going to start moving these munitions, they're going to target these munitions in NATO countries. This is what the whole rhetoric is. They came out yesterday and the day before and they said, look, we are at war with all of NATO. We're not at war with just Ukraine anymore or Ukraine and Poland. We are at war with all of NATO. Now, Germany, when they heard that stuff, Germany remembers Russians in Germany in 1945. They remember what the Russians were like, brutal to the max. You know, what most people don't know is that after World War II, from East Berlin to the Russian border, there were 18 million Germans killed by the Soviets in that period, right after World War II. 18 million Germans, okay? Now, so the Germans very well remember the brutality of the Russians. And the Russians have told the Germans, how about we get along? And instead of that pinhead Schultz getting along and disobeying the Dr. Dementia over here and doing what was necessary for the German people, to keep a country functioning. Instead, he kowtows to these ignoramuses out of the Pentagon, who the only thing the people in the Pentagon doing is that they have their arm all the way to the shoulder in American taxpayer money. That's all they're doing. They don't care how many people die, as long as they get a yacht, as long as they get a second house, as long as they get a refrigerator full of ice cream. That's it. They don't care. So, but the Russians do care. Now, This is how I see things going. Once Biden makes this move to move Patriots into Ukraine, the Russians are going to use tactical nuclear weapons, and they're not going to use small ones. They're going to be 75 kiloton, which is six times more powerful than the Hiroshima bomb. They use 75 kiloton devices that will be sent out on the Kinzhal KH-55 Dagger missile from the SU-31, which is a hypersonic missile that will arrive at its destination in a little bit more than a minute. And they will destroy everything that's sitting in Romania, everything that's sitting in Poland, and everything that's sitting in Germany. And you'll see mushroom clouds come up. It'll be very clear. The instant the United States tries to respond with a nuclear weapon, which will be a subsonic device, the Russians are going to launch SARMATs, and they're going to launch SARMATs against Brussels, London, and New York. That's what's going to happen. That's exactly how it's going to escalate. So the United States will get off, you know, let's call it five missiles coming off a sub, subsonic missiles coming off a sub that the Russians hope to take down with an S-500. Maybe it's eight missiles if they all fire successfully. You know, they just had to completely ground the B-2 bomber, right? Because the whole fleet's defective. They got defects on all the F-35s. They can't fly those. And they got nobody to repair them. Why don't you call some kid who's busy playing video games and see if he can repair your F-35? There's got to be somebody who's addicted to Fritos that's willing to get off the couch long enough to help you work. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They're not going to do that. Well, I guess you're just out of luck.
And they're all dying from the COVID-19 vaccine. Everybody in the military who's gotten it is dead. They're going to be brain retarded, dead. Every single person who gets that vaccine, dead. Well, that's coming. And you're setting this country up where a war overseas seems to be the preferred state of the nation. So the domestic terrorist fools in the Democrat Party and the rhinos, the Republicans in name only, like the Mitch McConnells and the Mormon lunatic.
Mitt Romney
and Liz Cheney and the rest of these idiots, hope they can escape. This country is about to be burned up into the judgment of its own sin and wickedness, and the COVID-19 is going to accelerate it. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and of course, the SARMATs that have been loaded, you know, the Yars missiles that they put out, the Yars launchers, they've deployed three of them in launch position, okay? It's not like they have to lift them up. They're sitting lifted up like this. They're ready to, all they have to do right now is say fire. That's it. These are vehicles to travel at 12,800 miles an hour. They're not stoppable. You can't shoot them down. And they're MIRVed. And these, so when we're talking about MIRVed, you're talking about something that's carrying five 150 kiloton nuclear devices. So what does five 150 kiloton nuclear devices look like when, let's say, two or three go off in Washington, D.C., one goes off in New York, one goes off in Boston? What's the East Coast look like? And by the way, that, you know, that's an 8-minute delivery time from Russia, right? It's less than 3 minutes into London, less than 2 minutes into Brussels. Then when Brussels is gone, London is gone, D.C. and New York are gone, then Russia says, okay, who is still alive over there that wants to talk about the next salvo? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is how close we are to this, Scott. This is how we are so close right now. And the fact that Biden has no concept of this. Oh, yeah, well, let's just send over some... We'll send over some mortar rounds. We'll send over some HIMARS. We'll send over some long-range missiles, you know, stuff that can hit Russia. We'll send over some Patriots. We'll put those in there. Yeah. Oh, that should do it. That should cover you, Vlad. So Russia's got another choice, too. The other choice is, before any of those things ship out of New York or wherever they're shipping from, take Kiev to nothing, take Lviv to nothing, take Odessa to nothing, take Avdiivka to nothing, take Kharkov to nothing. I mean, nothing, zero, nothing. Use your 75 kiloton devices on those places. So there's nothing existing at all, zero, nothing.
Well, I think that actually may be the actual scenario that unfolds, because Russia doesn't necessarily want a permanent state of war between the West and Russia. We know that. We know the sympathies and the similarities of the Russian Slavic mind and the Russian Orthodox Church to Christianity and Christian Protestants. And they understand that the West has been captured by this far left plague of idiots that is being purged out. But Ukraine is a radioactive cesspool. It is a oozing boil of poison, pus, madness, Nazi violence, and he just needs to put a red hot poker in there and cauterize the wound. I think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to cauterize all of Ukraine in many of these ways. I think they're going to capture Odessa and elsewhere, but I think they're going to rush in with the full might of the Russian military to crush and conquer and set up again, like an East Germany, West Germany no-go zone, and say, okay, we didn't want it to go here. We didn't want this to happen, but it's preferable for this wasteland to be erected so that we have the buffer zone that we wanted. And yeah, we'd like to have had Ukrainians living in the land, but we're not going to allow Ukrainians to live if they're going to threaten Russians. So you're all dead or you're all moving to Poland or Germany, but you're not going to be in this land called Ukraine and erecting weapons of war against Russia. I would think they're going to move in that direction, but we'll see.
It's possible. I mean, but you know, that's a very possible scenario too, but you have to remember, if they do that, they're still going to be looking at U.S. troops in Poland, U.S. troops in Romania, and a demented leader who wants to put them in Ukraine. Who thinks, notwithstanding the destruction, complete destruction of the country, oh, we're coming in anyway. We're winning. Let's go in there. We're winning, right? So how do you convince DC to back off? Zelensky is not making any decision. Biden's making the decision, not Zelensky. So, I mean, there's another scenario too, which is a very possible scenario where Russia has some weapons that the U.S. doesn't know about, or they do, or they haven't contemplated. But Russia could do something else too. Russia could say, look, we've had enough of this nonsense. We don't want to kill any civilians. So here's what we're going to do. Put a major EMP over Europe and a major EMP over the United States.
Or over every single U.S. military base that is around Russia. We're going to wage war on your bases that are surrounding Russia with EMPs and or other weapons and eliminate, destroy U.S. weapons and troops and technology in Ramstein and Poland and everywhere else.
Yeah, and it's possible they could do it with an EMP. I mean, that's a decision somebody's going to have to make. Because if I'm a general advising Putin, you know, the question is, look, if we're going to strike and it's going to be considered a strike, then we should strike to destroy.
Yeah.
Right? Not just strike and then get blamed for it and then have the machinery working again, you know, when somebody gets a repair worker on.
Right.
But I mean, I got to say, you know, in Germany, they're saying right now, all the remaining tanks, these Leopard tanks that they have in Germany, they can't make them run. They can't get them to run. They don't have the spare parts to fix them. Yeah. The Germans have said they have 2 days of ammunition to fight a war. 2 days.
Well, I mean, Russia should already consider them. They've waged war against Russia. They have initiated war against Russia. So every single German tank and every single German piece of weaponry and every U.S. piece of weaponry that's around Russia should be destroyed. In a military sort of engagement, Germany has nothing. All of Europe has nothing. This culture, this has been a watered down, effeminate, weak, pathetic culture since World War II. It was completely gutted, emasculated. It has done nothing. It's lived on cheap Russian oil. So they delusionally grow, you know, technology. Oh, we'll have Mercedes-Benz factories. Oh, we'll have this factory. We'll be doing Krupp steel and all this. You couldn't do anything if it wasn't for Russia providing you with oil. All of that should be stopped. I would stop every single sale of every single item to Europe, period, and to America. And I would, if I was Russia, I would engage in the targeting of every single piece of weaponry in Europe. And if you're going to annihilate something, that's what you annihilate and you declare to the West. Because here, the reason I say that, Steve, is you have John Kirby, the admiral, the little piece of garbage from the Munchkin land, standing up there at the State Department trying to say, well, we think now with winter, it's a time for discussion. It's a time for diplomacy. It's a time for Russia and Zelensky to get together. Bull. Russia needs, and I said that on an interview today, Russia needs to look at every word that comes out of the mouth of Biden and Admiral, you know, what's his name? I can't remember his name at the top of my head. Kirby and these others. Russia needs to consider every word that comes out of their mouth, the same words that came out when they were trying to get the Minsk agreements settled and just give us time. Let's just put the Minsk. And they knew all along that it was a ploy. It was a plan to deceive Russia and to mount a buildup of weapons against Russia.
So well, Russia already knows that. They don't trust the West at all. After Merkel came forward and said she lied about the Minsk agreements, well, then we're done talking. There's nothing to talk about. We'll talk after we have effected an unconditional surrender of nothing but white flags. And Bakhmut is a very typical example of what's going to happen in the rest of Ukraine. And, you know, so the thing is, Zelensky has fled the country. And he's fled the country, and I'm not sure he'll ever go back. There's a green room waiting for him in Miami, you know, at his $44 million
I said they ought to kill him, blow the plane up, but never let him back into the country again. Russia should put a target over his head, make him a war criminal for crimes against humanity, an international outlaw, but kill him by any and all means necessary, and do not allow him back into Ukraine. That Zelensky is the greatest insult to the American people. And frankly, that's what's most uproaring and infuriating is that we have absolute lunatics or cowards or traitors in the American government, in the American media, in the American military, in the American intelligence services, which have been fomenting this propaganda that Ukraine and Zelensky is all about democracy and human rights. It is the opposite. He is the opposite of everything that Americans should celebrate and support. He is a Nazi thug right out of the cloth that the rest of the Democrat Nazi thugs represent. But I would kill him by all means necessary. And I know, Putin's slow fuse, but you know what? You don't have a lot of time to be coy and delicate anymore. I think Russia needs to pull out the sledgehammer and just start going at everything it can. Within certain degrees of tactical prowess, but I think if it gives any leeway, any room to negotiations or conversations, it will only end up hurting Russians and the whole war for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I mean, the way it stands right now, there is no negotiating with Zelensky. There's no negotiating with Zelensky. He's not a decision maker. He's just a little loudmouth little puppet demanding more and more money. And, you know, I mean, and when did Congress vote to put $100 billion into Ukraine and now another $38 billion? And all of this stuff is all being backdoored. You know, I saw the top donations of Sam Bankman-Fried, you know, through that FTX scandal. Yeah. You know, number one, Democratic Party, number two, Biden for president. Those were the top two donations that came out of the Bitcoin scandal, right? The top two. Well, gee, one wonders how much money laundering is going on with this criminal crook sitting in the office running this backdoor money laundering deal. And, you know, and look, Ukraine, forget calling it Ukraine. Start calling it the laundromat. That's all it is, a Nazi-run laundromat. But what I believe is going to happen here, Scott, I mean, I'm just trying to look at the possibilities, okay? But the possibilities right now are nuke, larger nuke, EMP nuke, and massive nukes. I mean, that's what's on the table now. Thanks to our good friend Biden. And I mean, you know, Russia looks at what Russia said when they did a test where they tested their land-based ICBMs, their sub-based ICBMs, and their cruise missiles being fired from aircraft. All were successful. And the top general that ran the test said, if we'd actually done it, this war would have been over 8 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. It would have been all over. There wouldn't be anything left. There'd be nothing more to talk about. But no one, but you have to remember that, you know, when you talk about somebody who's got a responsible mind in leadership, they're looking and thinking, what's Moscow going to look like when you've got 7 million dead? You know, what does New York look like when it's just a ruin, when it's nothing but a ruin? You know, there has to be a threshold of justification before you go killing 10 million people. You know what I mean? You have to have something, especially if you're a person of righteous values. You're not just going to go out there and just slaughter everybody.
Right.
But the thing is when you're talking about this demented fool out of D.C. doing the things that he's doing right now, there is no negotiating with these people because they're not rational people. They are demon-infested, Satan-worshipping pedophiles who have been engaged in child sacrifice and blood drinking for the last 20 years. They've been criminals before that. They have a criminal mind. They have no concept, and they're not sane people. They've all been vaxxed 3 and 4 times. They've lost the ability to rationalize. You can sit here and tell them all day long, 2 plus 2 is 4, and they're not going to hear. They're going to say 2, and then you mention some other word that is, what is that, a number? They've got no concept. They have no ability to think beyond what's it going to take for me to put another $1 million in my bank account. That's it. Catherine Austin Fitz. She just declared the whole country a complete ruin. It's gone. Totally corrupt. It's going to completely collapse. If it doesn't collapse in 2023 and somehow makes it on life support all the way to 2024, that'll be a miracle. There's no way. Everything is corrupted from the bottom up. And the mooch parasites that call themselves politicians in this country are going for every dollar they can get. That's it. They're not doing anything else. They're not defending democracy. They're not defending Ukraine. They're not defending the West. They're not supporting any. What are the values of the United States right now, Scott? What are the values of the United States?
LGBT, homosexuality, abortion, witchcraft, godlessness, hedonism, telling your children that they can take hormone blockers and cut off their penis if they're a boy and pretend they're a girl, or if they're a girl, cut off their breasts and pretend they're a boy and run in each other's alternative races or swim in their races. It is complete sexual annihilation, which is the spiritual and physical annihilation of every human being that follows that demoniac teaching. That's what the West is. That's what America is becoming, is a completely demoniac, obsessed nation. And I'll tell you one thing, when I see Donald Trump down at Mar-a-Lago, whole bunch of homosexuals dancing around like Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm hoping and praying for the hailstones to come down. Because when I heard and saw that, he did it on Friday, they had this celebration in Mar-a-Lago for the homosexual defense of marriage or protection of marriage, which is really a closet piece of legislation that the Democrats have pushed through to recognize, you know, interracial gay marriage. Every state has to recognize gay marriage. And Trump had the log cabin Republicans and all sorts of other colorful demoniacs at Mar-a-Lago celebrating that. My God, if there's one thing that should cut him off from every conservative Christian Republican, it is this issue. Yeah, we understand that if a log cabin Republican wants to give money to the Republican candidate, that's fine. But you do not endorse, you do not become one with their God of hedonism and call it convenient or, well, you know, we're just going to all get together and we're just going to overthrow the Democrats. You're not going to overthrow anything because God is going to destroy you and this nation if you erect it based on sand and sin. And the Tower of Babel is about to be crumbling and coming crushing down. And I'll even add, Trump himself was the one who initiated all these weapons that were going to Ukraine. Trump didn't do anything favorable with regards to Ukraine. He caused a lot of it. And all the biochemical labs that have been seeping in there, the Russians knew about this when I was in Iran in 2018, and they said there's going to be a war. They said it in 2018. They knew those bioweapons labs, and that was what they were warning. There's going to be a war over these. And that was entirely Trump's doing. He could have stopped it, but he played along. He followed these bad advisors that are just as bad as him. You're judged by the company you keep. So when you have Mike Pompeo and John Bolton sitting next to you, you don't get plausible deniability, Mr. Trump. You are the president of the United States. I don't care how many times you walk with Kim Jong-un. I don't care how many pageants you do. I certainly think it's stupid to put your face on playing cards. But this whole thing of Trump is making a mockery of the presidency. And this latest little Sodom and Gomorrah dance at Mar-a-Lago, I'm wondering if the American people aren't just going to say, no, we're not going to vote for him. But the American people could go, you know, to hell with this guy. This guy really is the Judas goat that we suspected.
Well, you know, he had the same moral issue when we were in D.C. in 2020. We told him to stand up for the Universal Declaration of Bioethics and Human Rights. He refused. Now you tell him to stand up for the convictions of marriage. He refuses. Instead, he embraces the other side. This is the same fellow who put billions of dollars in the pocket of Pfizer, a successor in interest to IG Farben, the company that owned Auschwitz and developed Zyklon B for exterminating the Jews in that camp. He gave them billions of dollars so that they could bribe every politician in the world in the support of this fake protocol that they've developed that we call the COVID plandemic. He planned that demic. He was in on that. He gave the pulpit to Fauci. I don't care what comes out of his mouth. He is deep state all the way, 100%. And he'll never be back in power. Anybody who thinks he's had a head wound and now he's coming back in power, that is a bunch of, there's not going to be an election in 2024 because there's not going to be a government in 2024. There's not going to be an America in 2024. There may not be a Washington, D.C. in 2023. This is the whole point of our discussion today, Scott. We are on the verge of a nuclear confrontation. The discussion that's going on at the Kremlin right now is, if we launch this nuke, what happens? If we launch that nuke, what happens? If we launch this nuke, what happens? That's what they're talking about. Medvedev, I am certain, has gotten the okay from Xi Jinping to use nuclear weapons. I am certain of it, because Xi Jinping knows that we have arrived at the hour that if Russia gets in direct confrontation with all of NATO, and NATO already has three nuclear subs off the Russian coast preparing to lob nukes at it, that what happens to China? If Moscow is destroyed and the country capitulates, there'll be 3,500 nukes dumped into China and North Korea. And who's going to care? Who's going to even report it? It won't even get reported. There'll just be instant shortages over at Walmart. I mean, this is what the discussion is right now, and Americans should know this. And we are at the point right now, Scott, where any person with a brain should recognize there is not going to be a federal government in the United States very soon. It's going to be completely gone.
When you said, Steve, what are the American values? And I was giving that little diatribe of what I saw them as. I can't imagine, nor would I want, an America that has those demonic evil values. That is the habitation of every unclean thing.
That is
the abomination of desolation. But I'll hand it back to you. What do you see happening in this country? Is there going to be a revival, a renaissance, a conservative comeback to Christ like Nineveh? Or is this country just going to disintegrate and blister and fragment and come apart into a sinking slush of COVID-19 wokeness?
Yeah, there is no reform in the country. There's no reform possible in the country, Scott. It's not going to happen. The country is going to break up. The republic itself is going to fail. The dollar is going to go to zero. And not only is the dollar going to go to zero, the euro is going to go to zero, the pound is going to go to zero, the yen is going to go to zero. They're all going to go to zero. And in the middle of that zero, I mean, the question is whether or not the confrontation happens before those dollars go to zero or after. If the nuclear confrontation happens before, well, then the dollars will go to zero. But if not, the dollars go to zero, they may not have to use nukes. The Chinese can just walk in with 2 million troops and say, hi, we're here. How are you going to shoot us? You don't even have any money to pay any troops. You don't have anything anywhere. And the North Koreans will use it an opportunity to wax eloquent against their ancient Japanese enemies. And that'll be the end of Tokyo. And, you know, and so, I mean, and Kim Jong-un's sister is like, let's lob a nuke into the U.S. just for the fun of it. Just lob one in there just for the fun of it. Right. We're prepared. Just do it. Right. And, you know, so now you're starting to see the idea that the hatred for Joe Biden and for Mark Milley and for, you know, wink and blink and a nod that are running this country is profound worldwide. It is profound worldwide. So there's no reform in the country. Most people, when you talk in terms of conservative, I don't trust anybody who uses the name conservative. I've heard this conservative rhetoric for a long time. A conservative is somebody who listens to Fox News and hates his neighbor that they painted as liberal with a capital L on their forehead. There is no conservative. Most people don't know what it means to be conservative. They don't know what it means to build a righteous nation. They don't know what it means to have a righteous society. We're in the third generation of depravity in the nation. The nation has collapsed. The social order has collapsed. We have reached ground zero. We're dead. We're inert. There is no society left. The society has collapsed into abject hedonism. There is nothing left. There's no real value left. When you can take five-year-olds to a sexually explicit drag queen show in the mall, you've reached zero. You have reached zero. There's nothing left. No one wants that culture. No one would ever go to that culture. You only end up there because you practice garbage you should have never done. So because of that, this society is over. Now, the only question is, there's going to be pockets of the country, there are people who are going to ask, what do we do? And they're going to seek after righteousness. And those who seek after righteousness are going to have to know what that means. There was an interesting report just published by a fellow, and it was based on a book called Sex and Culture by J.D. Unwin that was written in 1934. And he points out that a culture that practices sexual discipline, and in particular, the preservation of virginity until marriage and monogamy thereafter, those two practices, a culture that practices that immediately becomes thriving, plentiful, and exceeds all of its neighbor because it has social energy. Yes. And it exceeds in literature, architecture, engineering, you know, furniture, productivity, life expectancy, on and on and on. It succeeds. Cultures that enter into sexual depravity, like our moron Congress people who are busy stuffing themselves on $100 bills, you know, chomp down on a pack of hundreds, right? As a protection of same-sex marriage act. You mean a protection of decadence, protection of defilement, protection of the destruction of the social order? What did you vote for? Oh, we have equal rights. Well, we want to have equal rights, right? Yeah, equal rights. You know, what about the guy who's having sex with a horse? Equal rights? Right? The woman who wants to marry a building, equal rights? How about the rapist? Does the rapist have sexual protected freedom in the United States? Just a question. You know, this is how stupid these people are. They're apt to have no knowledge whatsoever. So when we get to, when this is over, so anybody who retains this kind of brainwork about America, oh, well, we want to take America back. We want to restore America. So what? So we can move one step closer into conservative values. We'll kind of pretend that we're righteous. In the meantime, we're going to preserve all of these sexual orientations and all this other protection that we have to have around here. We want to keep all of that, but we'll just go to church more often. Sorry, that's not going to cure anything. That's not going to get to what is the only thing that's going to happen now is that the demons die by fire, period. They're going to die by fire. That's what Yah's judgment is going to be. It's going to burn. That's what's going to happen. And then when it's done, the people that remain are going to have to ask themselves the question, how do you intend to live? And if you intend to live with American values that you expressed, the American values that are currently on the table, if your intention is, I survived the war and I'm going to go back as an American and live like that, you're going to be a prey, and anyone in the world will have a license to kill you wherever they find you.
Mm-hmm. You know, a very profound, Stephen. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And I know you will too. Jehovah is our God and our Father in heaven. And he says, a nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. And that's what's happening to the United States of America. And we just pray for our Father in heaven's will to be done, whatever that is. Stephen, always a great pleasure and such an honor to have your enchanting and encapsulating knowledge on this issue. We would love to have you on again. This is an issue that is growing in all sorts of interesting ways. So thank you again. And thank you for joining us on Global Freedom TV. And we encourage you to go to our website, globalfreedomtv.com, and email us there and tell us what you think of the program and support us if you can. Thank you again. God bless you. Good night.